Good morning, everyone, and I want to wish everyone grace and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we worship today on the Sabbath, which that's the most important thing, is that it's the Lord's Day. It also happens to be the 4th of July here in America, and I know a lot of people will be out celebrating. I recommend Christians enjoy this Sabbath day honoring the Lord at home. And I'm going to be speaking today. We're going to take a break from our sermon series in the book of Judges, because what I want to do is warn, of course, Fellowship Baptist Church, and give us things we can do to prepare for the continued trouble in our nation. And I also, of course, want to warn friends of the ministry. So I pray that this message, of course, would honor God first, and that the message would go far and wide, and people would share it if you feel it's significant. I believe that the church is not properly preparing the people, especially in this nation, for the trouble that we're not only experiencing, but what we will continue to experience. The United States of America is being broken up on purpose. There is an attempted breakup, and I've been speaking about this here and there in sermons. But the same way I warned everyone before the January 6th demonstration, especially Christians, not to go, not to get yourself in trouble just for a political party or for a person like Donald Trump and his own ambitions, but to be home with your family, to make preparations, to make real connections in the communities for the trouble that's coming. Now, many of us are confused and dazed, bewildered. We don't understand why these things are going on. First of all, America is already in judgment. It's not that judgment is coming. We are already in judgment. And the reason why is we are trying to change the God that we worship. Many of us have become pagan. We're Christians in name only. We really worship other gods. We worship the god of money or lust or whatever it is that you worship. Some people have completely fallen away where they've become atheistic. So this is the fruit of what we've done in this nation. Now, this July 4th will be different in that unprecedented hatred of the nation will be exhibited this July 4th. And I'm preaching this morning, you know, of course, at around the early afternoon. But I'm telling you, I can be a prophet because I know God's word, not a false prophet like T.D. Jakes or Joel Osteen or Beth Moore or Paula White, President Trump's spiritual advisor, but a real prophet from just knowing who God is from the Bible and knowing what's being done in our nation, the evil that's being perpetrated. We will have large-scale violence later on in the day, this July 4th. You'll have the protests. It wasn't going to stop with the Confederate flag. It's now the American flag and everything that's American. And once they're done, this new communist revolution, once they're done burning flags and tearing down statues, they come for you. And we've seen this pattern again and again, repeated in history, especially since the Civil War times. Is this is the way you split up a people. This is the way you overthrow a government. These are the children of the revolution. I'm going to show you that since 1848, well before the Civil War, we had this new style of worship, this new political system, this communism, which came about to destroy nations and overturn God's order. Now, it wasn't only Karl Marx, but it's Frederick Engels that came up with this communist system. And again, they make it sound nice, and there are all these dreams of this perfect government. But all it is the government controlling you. The government's in charge. This is the way most governments function in a fallen world. They tell you when to sleep and when to eat. They tell you when to get vaccinated how to educate your children. And when governments want to act like God, then of course they want to control every aspect of your life. But we know there's only one God. There's only one King. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we reject him, we lose our freedoms. So I want to prepare you for what you're going to see later on in the day, and also as we'll have continued lockdowns around the world, speaking to our brothers and sisters, not only in Europe, but other Christian nations like Ethiopia, they're experiencing the same thing. As we're going to see in the sermon, we defeated the National Socialists, but we forgot to defeat the Communists, and we gave them a pass. And now we see that they have their hands around our throats because we rejected God. So the new religion for the last 100 years has been communism, which is Satanism and overturning God's order. And everything that is disgusting is now made beautiful, and everything that is unrighteous is now called righteousness. It was very simple. So I want you to be able to speak to your family, tell them how to prepare for the days ahead. So let's pray and get right into the sermon. Lord Jesus, we thank you that through you we can call upon the Father. And we ask, Lord, that the sermon today would prepare your people. I pray, Lord, that you would make me a faithful shepherd that represents you the way I'm supposed to. You know, Lord, that your little people like us, those who aren't billionaires or powerful political figures, we need guidance, Lord, and we don't need the money. We don't need the political power. We need your words of wisdom and your protection. And we pray, Lord, that you would do a work for us as you did in Egypt, that you brought your people out of Egypt, that they might worship you, and you gave them protection. We know, Lord, you've done this many times in Christian history. You delivered Christians from the grip of the Roman Empire. You've delivered the faithful many times. We pray, Lord, that if it be your wish, you would do it once again, that you would rescue your people in America, and regardless of what happens to our nation, you would allow us to form something new that glorifies your name again. We pray, Lord, that you keep the distractions to a minimum. We pray, Lord, that your people have open hearts to accept what they're being given from the word. And we pray, Lord, that we could be a witness and a comfort to our neighbors in this time of terrible distress in our nation. We ask this, Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the title of today's sermon, I want it to be short and practical. So when I'm done speaking, you'll have things that you can remember from the word and that you could speak to your neighbors about and that you can encourage your family with. So the title of today's sermon, Prep for the Last 4th of July. And this will be the last, well, semi-normal 4th of July that we'll have for a while, because the revolution is in full effect. And you'll see the hatred, not just for America, but for Christians. We have articles every day that if you are a Christian, you are enemy number one. So even if you are a black Christian, an Asian Christian, if you stand up against abortion, if you stand up against the anti-white racism with the critical race theory, you are now a white supremacist regardless of your skin color. It doesn't matter. As soon as you stand up against this LGBTQ agenda, even if you are homosexual yourself, a sodomite yourself, but you go against the transgenders, you find out you're outside the club. But target number one, just like during the French Revolution, just like during the Russian Revolution, it is the Christian people. So you will not have favored status if you side with the Christians and with God's law and with decency. We're going to see why. So I've told many of you already, especially Fellowship Baptist Church and Friends of the Ministry, you need to prepare. There's more trouble coming. It doesn't mean we won't survive, just like we survived Hurricane Sandy and we survived other conflicts. God will protect us, but we need to prepare. We need to understand that this nation is in the middle of judgment, not judgment coming, and we're going to have the continued inflation, the food shortages, housing crises, other, you know, cyber attacks to destabilize the nation. So first, let me tell you what the plan is, what the big picture is, so you understand what's going on. We're being broken up on purpose. So when you look at this conflict that they want to make between Democrats and Republicans, or now with the new race war they're trying to start between black people and white people and Hispanics and Asians and all this strife, it's to break us up. And I know many of you feel that you're staunch Republicans and you really like President Trump, and many of you like the relief from the drama that we've gotten with President Biden. He actually goes to sleep at a decent time and doesn't tweet all day and start all types of trouble. But the point is, whether you're Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. We're being made in this nation to hate each other on purpose, to split us in half. So the goal is to have the northern part of the country and the other liberal cities and states form one group to fight the more conservative groups in the South, some conservative groups in the Midwest, and this is the big split. So this election that everyone believes was stolen, not only was it all elections are stolen, by the way, so you know that I'm apolitical, I don't care, I don't have faith in Republicans or Democrats. The election was stolen from Al Gore in the George Bush-Al Gore election, right? So this constantly goes on. It is our New World Order friends who decide who gets elected and who doesn't get elected most of the time. So this election wasn't just stolen, but it was stolen in front of everyone on purpose. And it was done that way to make you angry, to form this division. So don't trust anyone, Republican, Democrat, Trump, Biden, whoever. They're breaking up the country. And the worst thing we can have for this nation is to be broken up, is to have a bloody revolution. Don't die for a political party. Don't die for perverts in either camp. None of these people are decent people. So you're going to hear stories of, now it's going around, President Trump will be reinstalled in August. And they're going to catch a bunch of people again rising up, where it's just a show. There is no real trying to take the country back. It's just getting you trapped in violence that you shouldn't be involved in. So what we need to do is network locally and prepare locally. And we also need to form bonds, especially serious Christians, and be there to help and defend one another. But to go out and attack the government in any way, as you see, it's not a game. These people are serious. Those who ran out on January 6th, you have ministers, you have former military, people that were in the military presently at the time, go out on January 6th. President Trump was very careless, former President Trump, in telling people to rise up as if them acting violently and loudly was going to persuade Congress. It was all a joke. Let's not do anything until it's time to do it. So don't get caught in another, you know, false flag, one of these operations. It's not what we need to do. And warfare and telling people to rise up is a serious thing. And as Christians, before we look to hurt anyone, even in self-defense, we must be sure that it is something that God would ordain. So please do not get caught up in this upheaval. Okay, let's prepare. Now, what I want to do is explain, many of you, especially the newer generation, might never have learned in school what made America, America, why the 4th of July was a big deal, what the founding of this nation went. I'm only going to make 3 points in this sermon, short and sweet, but I want to make it where you're able to give witness to friends and family about what today was supposed to mean and what the birth of the nation was supposed to mean. So if you turn to Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 through 31, we'll be reading that first. If you want to know what America And what free governments are formed on, you have to go back to the book of Genesis. Yes, God addresses everything, even politics, and the way he wanted things to be set up, what type of laws men were supposed to have to govern themselves. So point number one, the United States of America has been an anomaly since it first appeared on the world stage. Now why? Our nation, although imperfect, was founded upon unique principles. The Declaration of Independence describes a government founded on the principles of God's natural law. It uniquely espouses man's rights come from God and not the government. This is completely different. The American Revolution, which wasn't called a revolution until years later, is not the same as the French Revolution. And that Statue of Liberty in the harbor is a curse. It was a gift from France, from our Illuminati friends in France. We don't worship liberty in America. We don't worship the idea of liberty and man's mind. We worship God. And our revolution, or rather our political movement for our freedom, was based on the fact that men get their rights from God. The government doesn't decide what rights they want to give us. God is sovereign. He has a natural law, and that's what allows men to be free. Totally different than the French Revolution, where they wanted to form a government based on man's reason. So what does this mean? This means that people who are in the government, without your say, get to make up laws that you have to live by. Look at what Europe is going through right now because they don't have a constitution founded on God's natural law the way we have. Look at what Israel is going on, what's going on in Israel right now. How they're finding out that, well, Israel is not very religious and it's not very free. It's a secular, communistic type government, just like we have here now. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Look at the lockdowns, the forced lockdowns over the virus, the forced vaccinations, and what's going on there. So most governments believe that they're God and they'll figure out everything for us, and that's why when you have a government like that, you live in poverty. It destroys the motivation of the people. But ours was different. And it uniquely espouses man's rights come from God and not the government. It explicitly recites John Locke's view of the pursuit of life, liberty, and property being present in Genesis. Now, we're not taught this in schools anymore, but Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 through 31, that illustrates a perfect government. And in God's creation, he wanted us to have life, liberty, and property. These are the three things that the Christian philosopher John Locke brought out of the book of Genesis. Now, John Locke, of course, changed many of his views as his life went on. He wouldn't be a, quote, orthodox Christian, as we would say, but he still borrows from the Christian worldview. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 through 31. People wonder, well, does the Bible mention anything about what type of government we should live under? Of course it does. And it shows you what the goal of man is to be. The younger generation is lost. Many of you in your 40s, 50s, and 60s are still lost. Because, fine, you're saved in Christ, but you don't understand what the goal of what Christ's goal for us was in discipling the nations. Well, this is what we were supposed to teach people. Go right back to Genesis. What was man supposed to be? Men and women, what were they supposed to do? Well, we're told on the sixth day when life is brought to the land, it said, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now this is the type of government God wished for us. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree-yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. When people live righteously, they will honor God, and they will enjoy the things that God gave them. We see it right in Genesis. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was originally life, liberty, and property. What you're not taught in school is Thomas Jefferson ripped this off, his whole Declaration of Independence, from John Locke, the Christian philosopher. So you have to understand, it makes perfect sense. Genesis gives us the template. It gives us the design of how we're supposed to live and what we need to live properly. First of all, you need life. God created man. He breathed life into him. If men and women don't have their lives, then obviously they can't pursue anything else. So we have a right to life that God has given us. No government has the right to take your life away because you have a different political opinion or you have opinions that aren't popular. And this is what all governments that violate God's natural law do. They threaten your life. So our right to life doesn't come from a government. It comes from God. That's why abortion is wrong. A child obviously should be allowed to be born under God's natural law. They have a right to life, and also under our Constitution. So that was the first rejection, major rejection of God's law and our Constitution, of God's natural law, and what this country was founded upon. So we have a right to live. If you don't have life, how can you pursue anything else? So life and then liberty. God gave responsible men and women liberty. See, we think God is all controlling. He's not. Men actually are. God gives us a lot of freedom. He just basically says, and whatever you do in this life, just don't break these Ten Commandments. That's the main thing. So you can have liberty to pursue your interests, right? Just don't murder people. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal people's wives. Don't steal. Don't ruin someone's name. Bear false witness. So we have a liberty, again, that's given by God. Governments cannot take away basic liberties. The only time a government can rightly take away your liberty is if you break what they call natural law, what we call God's law. So yes, if I go out and I shoot three people at the supermarket that made me angry, now because I broke God's law, the government can enforce God's law, place me in jail, and execute me for killing people. So that's the only time that the government acts legitimately, is when it acts within God's law. So life, liberty, and property. How can you pursue happiness if you can't own anything? The government doesn't own the land. When we have taxes on land that governments enforce, they're saying they are God. That's why for years we didn't have property taxes in this land. Something else unique, okay? We were formed without these types of taxes. You have to own property if you're going to be able to pursue happiness. So government doesn't give you the right to breathe and to live. Your right to liberty doesn't come from the government. And your right to own something, especially land, and to make a living, does not come from the United States government. Now, if you look at France, if you look at Spain, look at the way they're behaving during this lockdown with the virus. France just makes up rules as they go along. That's the fruit that their revolution brought. We see it in Spain. Spain is passing laws where if they feel there's a medical emergency, they can take all of your property. So this type of government, which was birthed, thank God, through things like the Magna Carta in England, this was a Northern European concept which came from Reformed Christianity. Whether you're a Calvinist or not, doesn't matter. These principles came from that mindset. So these Christian principles were here in America. And this is why Thomas Jefferson used these principles. Thomas Jefferson admitted it. He said, reading the Declaration of Independence is reading John Locke's philosophy, what he brought out in natural law. And what made John Locke also revolutionary is that he was saying the people have the same rights as the monarchy. Now, of course, we know we have this back in the five books of Moses, where the king was supposed to obey the same laws that the people did. But remember, we have to teach our children, don't breathe a sigh of relief when, the government allows that now. Who cares what the government allows? It's what God allows. The government now allows you to change your sex. You can mutilate yourself and pretend like you are, instead of a man, a woman. Because the government makes it legal doesn't mean it's lawful in God's eyes. So this country is being overturned. It was found on godly principles. Now, because we're rejecting Jesus Christ, we're losing this. We're losing what we had. I gave you a link to John Locke and his principles to read on your own and the outline. I don't have time to go into all of it today. But that's what the big deal was with the birth of this country, why the 4th of July was celebrated. We were forming a new nation built on God's law, on natural law. We didn't need a king. We didn't need a priest. We didn't need a pope. None of that. We were going to have a people that lived righteously and supported natural law. That's the whole innovation. Even Benjamin Franklin, who was no saint, understood the difference between what we were doing here and the French Revolution. And the famous story, when the founding fathers formed their government, a woman asked Benjamin Franklin, you know, sir, what type of government did you give us? And he said, a republic, if you could keep it. Because to have a republic, especially a Christian republic, you need an educated and mature people. So that's the first point. This was a beautiful nation. We've rejected God. We are in the middle of judgment. And that's why we're suffering. Point number two. Every other political system relies on the government deciding what is lawful for its citizens. These political systems rely solely on man as the arbiter of truth. So whatever a group of men get together and decide, that's our law. So if they say that two men can get married, that's a lawful marriage, that's our law. And you see, the problem with men is their minds change and become corrupt. That's why we want to stand on the word of God. That's what was great about this nation. We wrote all our laws on a piece of paper that government or a group of men could not decide to change. So now we have everything being changed, right? A woman is no longer the only person that could breastfeed. They're called chest feeders. We have the word mother and father. The words mother and father, those terms are being taken out of college universities. We can't even say that women are the only ones that could give birth anymore. We have to call them birthing people. So this is communism. This is Satanism. This is all those isms. Don't be confused. It's just a revolution against God's order. And that's why America was so blessed. Why we were an example for the world. But you can only be a free people if you are a moral and a mature people. Savages can't have a civilized society. So this is what our handlers like to do. They turn us into savages. They debase us through pornography, through perverted literature, nowadays movies, TV, radio. And when you behave like a savage, you'll be trapped under the heavy hand of government. And that's what's happening. So these governments always evolve into totalitarian systems. That just means that the government acts like God. God is pretty lenient in things, right? He gives us 10 commandments and we use those principles to live. Well, the government mimicking by God, they have to be like God, right? So they have to watch you at all times. So they need cameras everywhere. They're watching us right now as I deliver this sermon. They're going, all of your phone conversations, regardless of what you do, they are not private. Nothing is private. Your emails are read, everything. The all-seeing eye of the government has now declared itself to be God, and it acts accordingly. So this Neo-Babel Empire, they're all the same in history. What they do is they take different groups of people that God separated into nations to be free, to express themselves ethnically, and we were just to be given Christian principles to guide our cultures. And there's beauty in that type of diversity, where people are left to be in their own groups and develop the way they're going to develop. This has nothing to do with skin color. In Ethiopia, they always have trouble amongst the ethnic groups. Everyone has dark skin, but there are 80 different ethnic groups. The most diverse continent in the world is in Africa. And most people have dark skin, but they have different cultures. They have different physical features. It's not skin color, okay? So we have to understand that when you're in your own nation, your own people group, your own neighborhood, but we all work with one another as Christians, according to God's laws, we have freedom. When you make everyone gray, a gray person, where we have no culture, we have no identity, this is where we become creatures of the state. The book of Revelation describes, it gives you the description of every insane, all-controlling government that has appeared throughout history. The Bible absolutely speaks to politics and condemns this type of government. When all-controlling governments come along, it's a judgment from God, and I'll prove it to you. Open up your Bible to Revelation chapter 13. Now, it doesn't matter if you're premillennial, amillennial, postmillennial, full preterite, pre-preterite, whatever. It doesn't matter. What God's describing here, once we get past all those arguments, is what happens when God is not in control and men are allowed to be in control. Revelation 13 describes every beast system that has appeared on this planet. Whether it was through the Greeks, whether it was through the Zulu tribe, whether it was through the Romans, these people with a heavy hand control their people. Revelation 13, tell me if this doesn't sound like a political description to you of what an all-controlling government does. Listen to God's word. You need to know Genesis chapter 1. When it comes to what a government should look like, what Christians should preach and teach, and you have to know Revelation 13, what Christians should be preaching against. So what are we told? And I beheld, starting in verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Governments that declare themselves God will make you worship them, just like Christians went through in the first century with Rome. Christians were seen as atheists for not worshiping the Caesars, who were looked upon as gods. All totalitarian nations who defy God does this. If you don't worship the government, it's seen as blasphemy, and you will be punished. This is exactly what communists did. If you didn't worship the government, if you didn't reject God, you went to a gulag, you were killed. And we're further told, and he causeth all, both small and great, doesn't matter who you are, you could be a billionaire, you can be politically connected. When they want to get rid of you, they will get rid of you. Your money, your position won't protect you when you fall under something like communism. It doesn't matter. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, without the theological arguments that we could get into, this is basically describing communism, fascism, all these isms that control men from ancient times till now. They want you to worship them. They are the ones that decide if you could have life, liberty, or the pursuit of happiness. This system has always existed. The National Socialists, or what we history would tease them and call them Nazis, the newspapers, but they used IBM. Yes, IBM, that well-respected company, helped the Nazis run their concentration camps using basic punch cards and tattooing people on their arms or their hands. So it doesn't take an advanced technology. This is how governments work when they don't have the restraints of the laws of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when you reject Jesus Christ and you embrace filth, or you start worshiping the government as God to take care of you, you have slavery. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. The times may change, but the system doesn't. So that's what we're trapped in. Now, we all hear about Karl Marx, who was Jewish and was the son of, he had a long line of rabbis in his family, but we don't always hear about Frederick Engels, who was a Protestant, whose parents were pietist Protestants. Now, pietism, what pietism does, it goes outside of God's law and it makes up these new laws, the way Christians are supposed to behave. And they are, pietists are also dreamers that we can have a perfect world on this planet, and that we shouldn't be overly involved in earthly things. Well, they created monsters like the Unitarians. And I gave you an article on Frederick Engels. He helped, even Lenin himself said, one of the main proponents and leaders of communism, Vladimir Lenin, said that Frederick Engels was the greatest mind. I mean, even better than Marx. So we have this godless Protestant and this godless Jewish connection. We have people both that have rejected God's laws and they've embraced man's laws. And we see that today. The churches, the humanistic churches, whether they call themselves Protestant, Catholic, Baptist, whatever, Methodist, they're all embracing this new totalitarian, this government system with full control. And even in America, look at the border situation. These religious organizations, Jewish, Catholic, Protestant, taking all types of money to help bring in young children that would be future sex slaves that aren't being properly documented. They're bringing in women that have already been raped by the time they make it to the border, and they're just funneling them into cities. No documentation required. And so this type of movement, all of these people are worshiping this beast system that we have not only around the world, but developing in America. And it brings with it slavery. Now, how do we get into this situation? Well, I'll explain. That's point number three. And I want you to understand, this is the big mistake we made in this country since World War II. During World War II, we defeated the National Socialists, but allowed the communists to take over the world. We are living with the consequences of that decision today. I am not a Holocaust denier. I'm not a revisionist. I don't go into trying to disprove what happened. What happened to the ethnic Jewish people is disgusting. It should be remembered. We should never forget what happened to them. But why are we allowed to forget what happened to Jews and Christians under communism? Why? Why are people not asked to repent of that? And in communism, you had godless Jews like Leon Trotsky or Leon Bronstein from the Bronx. You had many godless Jews, atheistic Jews, that helped bring about communism and helped kill millions of Christians in Russia, along with godless Christians, atheistic, quote, you know, people that were Christians but fell away. So we blasted the National Socialists, which we should. We should not want to live under fascism or what people call Nazism, but why do communists get a pass? We gave Poland as a gift to the communist world, as well as many other countries and territories. And this was our big mistake. And people have been getting canceled. You talk about cancel culture. People have been getting canceled since World War II for standing up against communism. One of our greatest generals, George S. Patton, was canceled by the government for realizing that we not only should have defeated the Nazis, but we needed to defeat the communists also. And many of them were betrayed. General MacArthur, many politicians. Dwight D. Eisenhower warned us before he left the presidency, beware of the military-industrial complex. And what this was this beast system being built up behind the scenes, especially after World War II, to control the people of the world, but especially America. They are after America because we are an example of freedom under God, because we have weapons to defend ourselves, because we had religious liberty for a while. If you get rid of America, you get rid of everything, and that's why they want to break us up. So we have to come to grips with what's happened. So we are in the middle of a godless communist revolution. It's been going on probably since the Civil War. And we see that we were a nation, we were a republic. It started to be chipped away at, and we went from republic to empire after the Civil War. So we are in the middle of a communist revolution in America. The divide and conquer tactics are still the same. America is being strategically broken up, and we need to prepare accordingly. Troubling times are going to continue to come. God will protect us. He always does. But we need to prepare. There's going to be, I told you, you should have already bought food. You should have did what I said. Fellowship Baptist Church, pay attention. Go to the dollar store. You know, I am not a person of wealth. I prep at the dollar store. Find out what beans you can eat that you're not allergic to. Buy as many cans as you can. Buy the packets of rice. Go to Dollar General, Family Dollar, where the working poor, like people like me and you, go and get one of those big buckets, those big bins. Start storing the food. I told you to make a closet. You can survive even in the cities. We're going to have blackouts this summer. It's going to happen. This new communist scheme of the new green energy project, it doesn't work. Windmills and other green types of green energy can't replace coal and oil that fast. So we're going to have blackouts. There are going to be problems. You might be in the dark for a day or two. For your own safety, you might not be able to go out to the store. You can survive in a city. Pack that closet with cans of beans, with bags of rice, with bottled waters. You need that. You need to prepare for that. Texas has found out the hard way. Florida found out with the, you know, with the gas shortages and with other things going on. So you need to prepare now. Buy food. Don't buy anything you don't need. Buy food. Get those big 20-gallon bins that they sell. Fill it up with rice and beans. Makes a perfect protein when you mix them together. You don't have to be rich to prep. And you don't need a lot of money. Did former President Trump former President Trump? Did his money protect him? Is he not going through trouble now? Did John McAfee, the billionaire, did his money protect him? Of course not. None of these people are protected when these types of governments start to assert control over the people. And remember, when these famous people, athletes, actors, are kissing the feet of our government and our political leaders, I don't make fun of them. Instead of making fun of them, you got to ask yourself, why do these famous people with so much money, what are they so afraid of that they're kissing the feet of Big Brother? What do they know? Do they know what's coming? Do they have an idea of the power that's about to overtake us? Of course they do. So we as Christians, we have to be smart and prepare the way we're doing now. So removing God from our society, remove the foundation of our governmental system. What kept us honest, even with our problems, what kept a good foundation for America was life, liberty, and property. Based on the book of Genesis, we acknowledge that our rights came from God, not the government. When you get rid of God, you get rid of his law. Now we have humanistic law. And that's why the Supreme Court has been overturning everything godly. It doesn't matter who you bring into the Supreme Court. This is all a strategy. It's all a system. Why are billionaires on Wall Street and political leaders kissing the feet of a communist nation like China, which kills and organ harvests its own people, which serves fetuses, cooked fetuses in restaurants? Why? Why do they worship these people? Why do we have this whole group all of a sudden that are defending countries like Russia and Putin? So everyone's in on it. Judgment's already here. Don't jump on the Trump bandwagon. The Republicans, don't jump on the Democratic bandwagon. Be Christians first. Let's be prepared to form something after this whole thing collapses. Start communicating with other Christians. Start prepping the way you're supposed to. And get ready. This July 4th will be a complete mess later on in the day, and it will only continue. We have street preachers being openly beaten in the streets for preaching. We have churches being burned down. This is communism 2.0. Don't worry about critical race theory and there's books being written and people talk about ethno-Gnosticism, and nobody understands those terms. It's good old communism. Talk to your granddaddy, talk to your great-grandpappy. They'll tell you what communism means. Talk to the Cubans down in Florida, right? Talk to anyone from those from Eastern Europe that came out of a communist system. We have become godless, and God is judging us. And there is no one group to blame. So don't listen to the internet, and it's only the Jews, or it's only the Catholics and the Jesuits. It's only the Protestants. It's all these groups that have become godless and rejected God, all these people that are now worshiping the government to take care of them. And that's what they're begging for in the streets. So be careful, stay focused, stay faithful. Don't get into trouble now. Don't get into trouble in August. Don't believe in this easy transition of President Trump coming back into power, please. This is a repeat of January 6th. Let's organize as Christians. Let's speak to one another, get together across the country, and be ready to build back better the right way based on biblical principles again. You've been warned. I love you, and God bless you. Amen. Lord Jesus, we ask that you strengthen us. You keep us faithful as Christians. You help us, Lord, not to fall into these political traps and other things that are designed for your people. We pray, Lord, that our emotions would not take over, but that the word of God and your guidance would rule the day. We pray, Lord, you protect our churches and our Christian people as we go through this new communist revolution, as everything perverted is now called holy, and everything holy is called perverted, and they prepare the people to be slaves, because we know, Lord, sinful men are slaves. So we pray that the people would repent and understand that that's the first step in freedom. It's accepting Christ as Savior, living by his law, and then fulfilling the Great Commission, as we're told in Matthew chapter 28, and teaching it to others, to live under Christ and under his beautiful laws. And we know, Lord, only by honoring you can we escape the beast system and live a life where we can have life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. But only comes through you, Father. We acknowledge that today. And we thank you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Go in peace. Don't be tricked. Don't be fooled. Enjoy your day, the Lord's day. God bless you. Until next time.